Blog Talk Radio.
Because y'all know I got to give a little shout outs, all right? Because you know what they say, I don't never want that to bite me in my butt. The same people you see on the way up, gonna be on this. They're gonna be the same people you see on the way down. I want nobody saying, remember me? You did that? You ain't gonna say it to me, all right? 25, 30 years ago when I snuck out the back door and I was doing shows, they would have said that on my way down. That's right. We keep it real, all right? I'm not trying to steal my man's logo from his podcast, but we keep it real on here. We all make mistakes when we're younger. And this brother I'm about to bring on, Brother Ishmael Shabazz, or Shabazz, you know, we used to say Shabazz. You know, we got a Malcolm X Shabazz school here in Newark, New Jersey. All right, the brother's been over here in Newark, all right, with the street doctor, Brother Earl Best from the city. And basically, this brother has turned his life around, just like I've had a nephew who has turned himself around. All he reads now is Frederick Douglass, Malcolm, Martin, John Brown, you know, revolutionaries, people that keep us active, not only with action, but in heart, all right? Because what good is sitting on your hands and you ain't doing nothing, you know? I mean, I know we get to a certain point, family, in life, a certain age, but you still got to get out here and you got to talk to these young people. And this brother I'm bringing on, I ain't going to say nothing. Like I said, y'all know how I do. When I bring my guest on, they speak what's on their heart and what's in their mind. And once again, this is not the Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd Cartoon Network, all right? So whatever you do, if you were looking for that, I'm sorry, you have to kindly dismiss yourself from the classroom, all right? Because we're all going to teach each other, all right? Because we all can learn from each other, all right? And a shout-out to my people, and I don't know, not near one person other than I've had, like I said, the fortune talking to Brother Ishmael, all right, from Kingston, New York. I'd like to say a shout-out to the people up there in Kingston, New York, and keep on fighting the fight like we used to say back in the day, all right? Not only right on, but power to the people, all right? Because there's different colors across the board. I don't care what color you are. If you're progressive, you're my type of person, all right? And you can all see what's going on in this country now. We're not trying to polarize. We're trying to bring people together. The OJs, Love Train, okay? And if need be, this brother from, I'm going to tell you right now, he don't take no mess. All right? And James Brown wasn't the only one to sing about Papa don't take no mess, because Ishmael don't take no mess. But like I said, all right, it is what it is. Shout out to my family, okay? I just like to say shout out to my family, my brother Darren, my niece Saida, sister-in-law Crystal, my other sister-in-law. Also to my podcast all-time All stars that are always up every week, Myrna, Joyce, Mr. Crystal Allen from Eyes Like Mine. Y'all know she gives a lot of information up here. Miss Deborah Alexander from Visionaries. Let me see, am I missing anybody? Yeah, I'm missing because I know quite a few people. You know, it's funny when you start mentioning people's names and all of a sudden you got to take your knuckle and knock up beside your skull and say, wait a minute, I'm missing other people. It'll come across as I go along. But the bottom line, family, let me see. Well, it is what it is, like I said. But anyway, get your pads ready, all right? I always tell you guys, let's take notes, okay? Also, shout-out to my technician, my man, Mr. Randy J. Sean Jackson, okay? My technician, I see you over there sipping on that green tea. Oh, that's the most. Shout-out to the people who have supported the green tea train. People, my brothers and sisters up in Kingston, you're going to have to go to see Brother Ishmael, all right? Green tea, shout out to John Boston and his wife, all right? I am a distributor, and I'm proud to be a distributor of green tea product, okay? This is organic antioxidant 500 ECGC green tea. Bag will last you 3 to 4 weeks. I drink 2 to 3 cups every day. It's a detox. We need it for our hearts. I don't have to tell you how African-American community is disproportionately affected, okay, by health issues, diabetes, high blood. That's why every week we bring you health, because your health is your wealth. They said a millionaire would give all his riches to be healthy again. I know I would, all right, because we all have challenges in life, but it's how we face them. That's why I started this podcast, to give back, just like Brother Ishmael is giving back in the community up there in Kingston. And, of course, we have Brother Michael Collins from Youngevity. Also, we'll make an announcement November the 6th. We got Dr. Joe Wilder coming on, thanks to Brother Michael, and our own right here in New Jersey, our brother, our dear brother, Rashad El-Amin, will be on to tell you about that coconut oil, y'all. All right? But anyway, it's going to be a bit. Michael, when he comes on, is going to tell you about Joe Wallach, heavyweight. He wrote quite a few books, okay? So without further ado, Jay, we don't need no music. We're going to bring up, well, wait a minute. Wait, I got to say, oh, it's time, okay? Because the brother, everybody got 30 minutes, okay? I don't want to take up too much of this brother's time, because you're going to see people, how impactful this brother was. I had 2 or 3 conversations with him, And like I said, the brother's always welcome to come back. I know next summer I might be sliding to Kingston, all right, to go see the brother. But anyway, Brother Ishmael, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine. Peace and blessings to you, my brother. The platform is yours. I don't say nothing. And my man got a doorbell. So in case you, because we all get into what we got to say to our family out here, all right, because we all family. Malcolm said back in the day, you don't get hated on because you're a Methodist or a Baptist or a Muslim or a Christian. You get hated on because of the color of your skin. And we're trying to stimulate our culture along with progressive other ethnicities to come in with us. And let's get this thing going because these people are, I'm telling you, they're trying to put fire to, they are putting fire with these legislation and laws they're enacting. But anyway, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you Brother Ishmael Shabazz.
All right, Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Otep. And I just want to give a shout out to the family in Newark, New Jersey that dealt with the Anti-Violence Coalition. The brother said, I've been there about 11, 12 times, man, supporting and trying to find out a way that I can bring that movement to Kingston. So let me, before I start, let me give you a little history about myself. At 17, I joined the Black Panther Party in Brooklyn, became a Panther. I sold papers, distributed pens and posters and all that to the people so they get to understand who Huey was. I started off with a Wallace side. I found the picture of him in the wicker chair. I made 50 copies. I sold them. I made another 50 copies. Then I was able to get posters and stuff. And reading and understanding the party, it enlightened me. Enlightened me to the point where I wanted to be a part of that because it was something positive. And it was a strong group of people, men and women. So as I went to school, I started selling papers and everything. I went to college. I sold the newspapers at the college. I got 50 cents off each paper, so I had got 1,000. Then I got 2,000. That meant their 1,000 is theirs. My 1,000 I can live off of. Was doing real great. I love school. I wanted to be a lawyer, and that's why I went to school. Unfortunately, a couple of semesters, I had 3 kids by 3 different women, and I dropped out. And I couldn't get a job, so I started hustling. And I hustled for years, selling coke, dope, pimping for a while, sticking people up. Then at one point in my life, my mom's got sick, and I took care of her. And out of the blue, she asked me, because my name used to be Gary Parker, and she asked me, Gary, what happened to you? I said, what are you talking about? She said, when you was a Panther, you fought against drugs and alcohol. How you start selling it and using it, ain't that a contradiction to what you believed in? And when she said that, I was speechless. Because she was right. There was nothing I could say to justify what I did. So after she died, I became Muslim, and I found a queen, a good woman that I've always liked, and I married her. And I changed my name to Ishmael after my wife took my last name. And I built. I always stayed in law. I did a lot of criminal shit. And I never got busted because I knew the law. And then I started, man, saying, well, I'm going to try to help these young kids. So I got my degree and went back to school, got my degree, and got my paralegal degree and got my bachelor's degree so I could work with these young kids. And I love working with young brothers. And I try to guide them and keep on the right track because I try to tell them that how the life I used to live. And they always, man, said, man, too bad. Why are you always lying to us, man? Because they don't see that in me. And that's a good thing. I had to show them a mugshot I had one time, and they started believing. And said, Shabazz, you wasn't lying. So I'm trying to get them to change their mindset of from the gangs and the drugs and all that. I took a lot of training. I'm a mediator. I'm a gang trainer, conflict resolution. You know, I do it all to help my people. And when I say my people, I don't care if you're blue. If you're a human being, I'm going to try to help you when you ask help. And I've helped people in the schools. They can stay in schools, in the courts, when they get in trouble. And I'm good at it. And, you know, then I said, my wife said, well, you know, you got other people that you can help too. So I started helping everybody in the town. And I got a good reputation. But then at the same time, I got a bad reputation with the system. Because they didn't like me doing what I was doing. And they would give me a little hard time. I fought against the violence in the streets, the drugs in the streets, because I know, man, that this put out there, man, to keep us separated and in a fog, that we don't really know what's really going on in life. So they're able to manipulate us. So when the violence started in my town, I looked up the Anti-Violence Coalition down in Newark. When the brother went down there, Muslim brother went down there. I became Muslim. We went down there. First person that I was Brother Sharif. He was getting the sound system straight. So I met him. Abajir I met. Keisha. Met all that. Malik Shabazz was there at the time. I went down. So I went down a few times and getting that information and bringing it back up to where I live. Because, you know, if something works, why would I change it? So I was trying to implement the same thing, man, that the Anti-Violence Coalition was doing. So I started traveling Newburgh, Poughkeepsie, or down to Brooklyn, all the surrounding areas to try to stop this violence, rallying for to stop the violence. Then it got to a point, man, in my hometown, there was a lot of shooting. And one of the shooting was by my daughter's house. And the kid tried to run up on the porch. I made a decision to go down there and address it. What I did is I told them kids that something happened to mine. I ain't calling the police. I said, what do you mean? I told them to ask your mother and father about a guy named Gary Faulkner. One guy came back and said, yo, my mom and dad said he was a motherfucker. Who was he? I said, me. And he looks at me. I like me now, young bro. I like the things I'm doing. So what I did is I got the guns from them that the police was giving them and trying to send them to Africa. Well, they sent an agent after me, same agent that went after Sharif and King Samir. But they wasn't able to get me the way they wanted to. I did 2 years. I came out strong. I'd never been to prison. I was 61 when I went to prison. All them years, man, that I was out there doing my thing, I never went to prison. But I wasn't mad because I learned something. You know, growth and development is important in our lives. And I started talking to young kids up there. I found a lot of them didn't have an education. I would school them all the time and talk to them and tell them, man, you know, this, you're doing what they want you to do. You know, and I told them my story about how I end up, man, being from a Panther and they're selling drugs, the poison to our system. So I told them, man, I changed my life around. I'm trying to help my people now in any aspect. I don't care if you aren't. If you need some help, man, knock on my door and I help you. Because life is about each one teach one, each one helping each other. Don't ask questions. Just try to help the brother if you can. If you can't, then show him somewhere that you can go to get some help. Addiction, you know, alcoholism. I've been trained in all that. I got training, man, and everything under the sun to help my people. Now, the system didn't know that's what I was trying to do, but they end up finding out because once I got my certificate, that's what I was doing. They didn't particularly like that. So they didn't like me for doing the right thing because I'm taking money out of their mouths. And I didn't care. I mean, it can't, because my job, even though I was selling the poison to the people, I realized my wrong, so I wanted to correct it and change that to get people off of drugs. And I have women, the men, young kids, and I'm still working every day, man, trying to get these kids off the street. I hooked up with some brothers, man, that we give clothes and food away, like the Panthers did. I got gang training, so I can teach these young brothers that they're using these gangs, man. They always had gangs, but not to the point where you're killing each other, see, because they're the only ones that benefit. One dies and the other one's going to prison for life. Is that the life that you want? You know, and they're silent because they realize, man, that they're being pimped. They're being used to do the enemy's work. And once I started doing that, man, I became really dangerous because now I'm taking money off from their mouths like kids not going to prison. So when I went, I got beat up. I knew it was going to happen because they know I was a Panther. When I got there, they said, well, I didn't know no Panthers was alive, but you start some shit, you won't be. As soon as I stepped there. And I told one of my daughters what happened, and she begged me not to fight. And when it happened, I turned around and heard my daughter. But what I did after that, I used the power of the pen to do my fight before me. And I was always good at that. And when I contacted an ex-Panther, Charles Barron, out of Brooklyn, he said I didn't know he was a assemblyman up in Albany, but he sent them, man, like in 2 or 3 days. That's when everything changed. They got rid of me. They kept moving me around. But they end up realizing the power of my pen. So one of the blacks, and then I had a friend, a white lady, man, that was one of my supporters, wrote the head guy. And the black CEO came to me and told me, yo, Smack, Tenet just met with one of the CEOs. Said, about what? Said, about you. It's about me. Said, one of your friends wrote the head guy. So I said, what's up? He said, head guy said, leave that man alone because I'm not getting in no trouble for what you do. And he smiled. I said, what are you smiling about? Well, he said, because that's the power you got that other kids don't have. They ain't going to mess with you because now they are noticed. Because they got that letter. And I didn't change my ways. I didn't change my ways at all. I kept trying to educate the young kids, man, talk to them, get back to school, because without an education, you lost. You lost in the sauce, and you can't, without an education, man, you're done. So get your education, young brother. Because once you get that education, and they know that, they might not like you, but they respect you. Because I said, look at me. I do all the right and all the time. And they scared because that, no matter what I do, they ain't going to do nothing else. I'm not going to do nothing crazy, but they're not going to do nothing else to me because they got eyes on them now. So I did my time, came home, and I ain't changed. I'm still doing the things that I do because that's my obligation as a man, as a black man, to try to change the mindset of our children, male and female. I have a sister, man, that helps me work with the sisters because the sisters need some help too. And then together, man, we can build a strong black nation that we used to have. The drugs is prevalent everywhere in this world because that's what they use to get us addicted to the drugs. And the alcohol and do dumb shit. Well, I'm trying to stop that now. And I tell people, yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it because I had a couple kids. It didn't make it right, though, because I was wrong. Get an education, get a job, and be successful in that. Start a business. When I was in college, I worked with a lawyer that used to represent me years ago. And he used to tell me, you do bad, good. Why don't you try doing good? So when I did that, I started working with him. Had my own office. I did a lot of motions and stuff for him. I learned a lot. And after I graduated, I left and started my own business, Shabazz Legal Services. And to this day, I still have that. When I came home for the 2 years, one of my professors wanted to go to law school. And he gave me $8,000, the law books, because he changed his mind. He asked me that I wanted. So I set up my office in my house. I just won a CPS case. I mean, a social service case. They was trying to take my man's money, and we won. We won. I fight little fights. No fight is a little fight. A CPS man, when he got his disability, they took all his money. So I fought it, and we won. That's another way how I right the wrong, helping the poor get their money back. And it took them a while to get a decision, because the information we put out there to the judge had to do the research. And she did the research. And she came back with a conclusion that they was wrong for taking the money and they got to give him his money back. That's the power that I like, power of the pen. We can go out there and fight men in the streets, but when you got to deal with them intellectually, then you have that power. There's nothing that they can do to me now, because I have a right, I have a business, a license to do what I do. And they don't like that. But I don't care what they like, because I stand strong. I got a strong family. Matter of fact, my one daughter in D.C., been following this program, and she suggested that I get involved. That's why the brother contacted me. We got involved, and I'm going to continue to get involved, you know, because this is what we need to get our lives together. I messed up. I dropped the ball when I was younger. Just imagine if I had stayed in school and been a lawyer. And sometimes I think about that. But then I say, you know, it's God's will that I turned out the way I did, because now I can help more people being a street lawyer. You know, I'm a paralegal, but I'm still a street lawyer. They look at me. I go before judges. I go before the principals of school. I go in front of all the heads of anything to help my young kids and girls, females too, because the education is the key to success, not selling drugs, not selling, building burglaries, robberies, and all that. It's getting that education, because once you got that education, can't no one take that from you. No one. They might not like you, but they respect you. I get respected by judges, lawyers, and some of the police. Because in my community, we have an older person that handles the ward that we live in. But I'm the man. I'm the one that everybody comes to when they got an issue. Hers is a paid position. Mine's not. But it ain't about money. It's about souls that you save. And I'm still asking Allah to forgive me for the things that I did wrong. So I try to do everything, man, that's righteous. Okay, one thing I did forget, I pimped for a while, 6 months, but I regret that. And it wasn't my choice. They asked me. After 6 months, I had to leave it alone because I got daughters. I didn't feel comfortable. I said to them, I'd rather knock some money in the head, take the money, than take advantage of y'all. And they said, well, we asked you. I know, boo, but I can't do it no more because I got daughters. If somebody did that to mine, I'd be bad. So there's a lot of things in life, man, that we go through, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs. But one thing that young brothers that we got to realize is that we have to stop and think about our family, our people, and our race. And then humanity all together. This world is fucked up. We got a lot of stuff going on now with this pandemic. We're taking these virus shots and all that stuff. I read books about all that. I'll be 67 in a couple of days on a 30. Stay in good health. I don't drink. I don't do anything, man, that's going to be harmful to my body because I have a family. I got 17 grandkids, male and female, 7 kids. Male and female, and I'm a family man, and I protect them. That's why I did what I did, to protect my family, because that's what a man's supposed to do. That I wanted to hurt anybody or anything, but it's my obligation to protect the family. That's a man's job, to protect the household. And if you're not doing that, then you're not a man. If you're running around there selling drugs or shooting up the community, that's not a man. You're becoming an agent for the people, man, that we fighting against. Because I was when I did it. And I knew better. But because I had 3 kids, I had to look at that. I needed some money. And that don't make it right. So I was wrong for doing that. And I asked Allah to forgive me for that stuff that I did. And I believe he had me, changed me to do the righteous thing and to help my people. I've helped people, man, all over, man, my area. I follow the movement. If brothers need my help, I'm there. Anywhere, I'm there because this is what I do. And then I train somebody to do anger management. I have an anger management program that is good. And I change the mind. My job is to change the mindset of our children because the music, children, man, preparing for prison. And that's why they changed the music, because the rich cats invested in the prison system. And all it is that slavery all over again. And I saw it while I was there. I wasn't working. I told them I make $15, $16 an hour. I'm not working for nothing. I take a program. So I did take a program. I took a program in dealing with the anger management that I already took before. And when I took it a second day, the woman that runs it, to Mr. Baz, can I talk to you? What, man? You know this. Why are you taking it? Because it got the last component I don't have. And the lieutenant kept asking me, when you get done, can you teach it? I said, no. I caught a ticket because they beat up my man, and I saw it. I completed it, and they moved me up out of there. Then I came home, and I'm implementing this program, man, as we speak. I just met an hour before I made this call. I was talking to a brother that deals with the teenagers and the adult kids. So we're setting up something that we can meet, men can meet with these young kids, man, try to mentor them. Because that's what we need. We need brothers, man, that got their head straight and got things, man, in alignment to save each other. It ain't about who knows more than the next person or who has more than this. We got to look at our children, man, because they need us. I had role models, man, when I was young. So these kids need role models. The females need role models because this way this world is. We in the last days. And I'm not the gay rights. That's between them and Allah. I don't agree with it. That's all I'm saying, because I agree what Allah says and against what Allah says is wrong. But I don't bash nobody because I respect people. They might be gay. I respect them for their own thing because they're going to have to answer to Allah when it's all done. And if they need help, I'm going to help them. I don't care, man, if you're gay, white, black, orange, I'm going to help you because that's my job. I can't, you know, put my opinion on how you live your lifestyle, the gays, because I lived a lifestyle that was worse than that. And I remember that. So I can't pass judgment on anybody. But if you need my help, I'm going to help you because that's my job. That's what Allah created me for. And I realized that, you know. And my wife said, why you, when my daughter says, why you got to be the one? Why not? I've been through a lot. I got beat up 3 times, man, by the police. I almost lost my arm. I got battle scars from the police. And I'm still, man, not mad. They mad because they couldn't catch me, so they kicked my ass. But I got mine in, too. They got some lumps and bumps, too. But it's just the fact, man, that, you know, when we have a choice in life. And that's get the education, go to school, and have a family. Sometimes it doesn't work for all of us, for some of us. But right now, young brothers, I'm asking you, whatever you do, you know, you can talk about it. I'll leave my phone number, man, so you can call me and talk if you need to talk about anything. Women, children, whatever. I can try to give you a little advice, but it's up to you to take that advice and then think about it and make a choice on yourself because you got to remember, you only got one life. And if you got a family, best thing to do, man, is take care of your family, male or female. You got a good woman, treat her right. Because my wife is a queen. My girls are queens. I don't call nobody bitches or hoes and none of that. Because that's insulting to your mother, friend, sister. Because we're kings and queens. They don't never want us to know who we are as a people. We're the original people. And the only one in the Pope knows that. They pray to Black Mary and Black Jesus when they pray. They know the truth. We're the only ones that don't. Because they never want us to know who we truly are. We're the original people. We get energy from the sun. Get tans and stuff to look like us. But then they call us nigger. Why you want to look like us, but then you calling us nigger? So you got to look at that. Racism, man, is learned on both sides. Because there's black, brown, yellow, red, and white. And each one of them other colors other than white, mixed with the white, is going to change the color. And that's what white America is afraid of, that they're going to lose their, how can I say it, superiority because the rich cast is white. So I'm done. Anybody want to ask any questions? What was that?
That was the doorbell, brother. We got a minute before we bring on our next guest, my brother. So
okay.
But anyway, so, Brother Shabazz, if you could give the people your contact information, we very much appreciate it, my brother.
Okay. All right. I'm on Facebook, Ishmael Shabazz. You want to call me 845-616-2614 and just hit me up. But I'm on Facebook. So, you know, if you want to ask any questions, I'm a revolutionary, so most of my stuff is about knowledge. But if you want to hit me up, conversation, man, it's 845-616-2614. All right, God bless you guys, and thank you, my brother.
Hey, my brother, anytime. But let me say this.
Yeah.
I asked Brother Ishmael, and he's going to post on my Facebook. So I always tell my podcast audience, Brother Ishmael, pad and pen. And let's bring it and make sure you mark everything down. And if you want to question something, we always have people, my guests, put out their contact information, brother. So, ladies and gentlemen, in case you missed something or if your pen got dry and it stopped writing, then go, Brother Ishmael is going to post on my Facebook page, and I'm going to have this brother back again. Trust and believe, all right? So peace and blessings to you, my dear brother, and we're coming on with our next guest, Brother Michael Collins. You take care of yourself. Be safe, brother. Now, I'll be talking to you. You know that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to stay on this, man, because I'm going to listen, bro. You hear me?
Please do. Please do,
yes,
my brother.
Sir. Yes,
all right.
Sir. All right. Thank
peace
you.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.
Okay, family, before I bring on Brother Michael Collins, I just want to say also shout out to Ms. Dawn Lewis Roberts, very good friend of mine, very, very beautiful woman. Also, Ms. Karen Watley, all right, my old high school sweetheart down in Houston, Texas. Want to give her a shout out. And also, Ms. Jada Earl, all right. Peace and blessings to y'all. Hope everything is safe and well with you. And as we go along, if anybody else is clunking up here in my brain, I'm going to bring up their name. But anyway, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring on from Longevity Products and also a very good, dear associate friend of mine, Brother Michael Collins. Brother Michael, you there?
I'm here.
All right. The floor is yours, my brother. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm going to say good evening to everyone. And thank you, Brother Shabazz. That was a very inspirational talk. The first thing I want to announce is next Saturday, we're going to have Dr. Wallach on the show live. So I recommend to everybody, tell your friends, your family, your loved ones, your people you don't like, tell everybody, because we're going to get an education on nutrition. And nutrition is one of the most important things that we can give to ourselves. It's a gift that God put on this planet for us to share and understand that we can heal ourselves and that we can overcome any circumstance that affects our health. So again, tell everybody, Dr. Wallach is going to be here. Now, it's interesting. I had a conversation with a brother this week, and we were talking about violence with the youth, because he set up a program for violence with the youth. So I talked to him, and I said to him, do you know that most youth are missing lithium? And he, you know, we spoke and he went back and did some research on it. And he said to me, that's so simple. They're missing lithium. So if we start giving them lithium, the violence is going to go down. I said, yes. So I know we're going to have talks this week to start to incorporate lithium into the diet. But it's a vicious cycle because most women get pregnant and a lot of women just don't know the proper nutrition for themselves. So that means that the proper nutrition does not go to their fetus, does not go to that baby. And so if we can just eliminate the bad foods and start incorporating the good foods, the good nutrition, the minerals. A bottle of minerals is not expensive, but if you got the lithium, you got the chromium, you get the vanadium, because that's the cycle of diabetes, and that's the cycle of violence. And so when we start to feed everybody with lithium, it will change the way the community reacts to each other. Again, education is so important because with education comes understanding. And when we start to understand that each and every one of us goes through the human crises, goes through their own story, their own Holocaust, each and every person goes through this. And one of the greatest greatest helpers in balance ourselves out and balancing our body is the proper nutrition. So when I say that nutrition is the key to so many things, yes, it's important to study. Yes, it's important to read. It's important to educate yourself in all areas because this is the key. Because we can't use the excuse anymore, I don't know, because that's a weak excuse. That's no excuse at all. It's time to read books, to share information. They say we live in the information age. So why live in darkness? Bring that information out. Share it with people. I mean, a simple element like lithium could cut down the violence in the community. I mean, we would be crazy not to encourage every young mother to take lithium, to start supplementing with lithium. You know, it's the same thing as like a good multivitamin will cut down your percentage of getting cancer. I'll give a number, but don't hold me to it, by about 50%. So why would anybody take a good multivitamin? But in the Black community, we are not used to supplementing. We are not used to getting the proper nutrients into our body. We have to protect ourselves because nobody else is going to protect us. You know, there's a great fear that by the year 2042, I believe, is that the minority, the Black and Hispanic race, will then become the majority. What I'm saying is, we've seen a lot of mistakes that have been made. We've seen the lack of understanding and the lack of reasoning. We live in a world where profit is important in humanity. We live in a world where people will do anything to make a dollar. And when they're doing anything to make a dollar, they lose all ethnic or ethical considerations. So we need to change that. And by working with the nutrition, by getting ourselves strong again, getting our body strong, quit eating the fried foods. You know, when we look at the good food, bad food list, fried foods is number one. Sugar. White sugar is number two, or you could reverse them because they're both killers. They both create free radicals. The oils, you might have to be very, very careful with the oils. We need to take in three times as many omega-3s as we do omega-6s. So and when you take in your omega-3s, you want them to be laced in nitrogen so that they don't become rancid and you get the pure oil. Just doing little things like this. Again, when you start to take control of your health, start to understand the power because everything evolves from your health. I mean, in order to change the situation that we have inherited for years, and this has been gone all over the globe against people of color. You see how people in India, Africa, South America have been enslaved. And when you know the history and know what's going on, people come in They conquer the people. They bring in more powerful weapons. They then change their appearance, change their language, so that they forget who they are. Indigenous people, we can learn so much from them, but they want to wipe them out because they're one with nature. They're walking in harmony with nature, and so that everything they do is the stepping stones to the Most High. Everything they do is in harmony with the Most High. And that's why I say it's very important to get that nutrition in harmony with the Most High. Yes, we hear there are many types of diets, you know, from meat eating to vegan. But what you have to do is find out what is true for you. You have to find out what gives you power. You know that exercise, movement, in order to communicate with yourself. You also know that our psychology is so important. You know, our parents loved us, but they didn't have all the knowledge. Each day, we get more and more knowledge where we can bring that knowledge and share that knowledge. Because when we share that knowledge, we can create understandings. We can create bridges. We can create a world where people are in harmony with each other. You know, look at the world. Look at the insanity of war. Look at the insanity of going out in the field with a gun and just shooting at somebody. Look at that insanity. And what's that for? Why are we going to war? We're going to war to take over resources in countries that have resources. So I know I don't get any money from any resources from any other country, and I would take it most people on this call do. But yet there are people who are looking to profit. They send you over there. They don't give a damn about you, and you die for something or get maimed for life for something just to exploit people around the world. When do we say enough is enough? When do we say this is pure madness? When do we say I don't want my money going this way, I don't want my taxes going this way? And when do we open our hearts? When do we open our hearts to the love that is most natural gift of the Most High? Love for everyone. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. That's just part of the game of conquer and divide. Look how it's played out right before our eyes with the vaccination. We're talking about another game of conquer and divide. You know, are you vaxxed or unvaxxed? And they've thrown out all the Constitution, your right to choose, try to force a vaccination on you. It makes you go, what the hell is going on? You know, it's your choice what you want to do. But the thing is, they've denied us information. All they say is, like, just go take the vax. That's it. They've denied us of our information. They're taking our power away. And in taking our power away, they don't tell you how many people have been maimed, crippled, dead from this vaccination. You never hear those statistics. And yet, it's happening every day. That's why it's so important to come back to the nutrition. Because there are different vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin C, vitamin E, zinc. These supplements can help you to build up your immune system, strengthen your immune system. You taking charge, taking control of your health. These are very powerful tools in helping you bring about your health. You know, we know that ivermectin has been around for 60 years. There are no side effects. And yet, the government bans doctors from issuing ivermectin. Well, at least in New York, because I went to the doctor and I said, can I get a prescription for ivermectin? He said the governor had banned ivermectin. So when does the governor become a doctor? When does the governor put in laws that in regards to your health? We have to ask these questions, and we have to take action, because if they take away your health and dictate to you what you need for your health, they're not going to tell you nature's remedies, because nature's remedies usually end up being inexpensive. You don't have to pay. You don't have to pay anything for your health. You just get the herbs, get your spices, get the proper food and nutrition, and supplement. And that's half the battle. You know, when we start to do this, when we start to think of for ourselves, when we liberate ourselves from all the nonsense and all the rhetoric of black and white, rich and poor. I mean, in this country, we're taught to emulate money. But what does that mean? Dr. Wallach wrote, dead doctors don't lie. Well, dead billionaires don't lie either. Because what's the average age of a billionaire? I believe it's somewhere between 72 or 78. So why are we emulating them? Why aren't we emulating someone who lives in the blue zone where their life expectancy is 100 plus? Why aren't we taking them and sharing their knowledge and wisdom? I mean, just think, a simple pill or a simple supplement such as lithium could decrease the violence in the black community. So let's just take that. And can you imagine if we just started giving the youth supplements of lithium? Could you imagine when a woman gets pregnant that we start giving her the proper nutrition so that she's taking the 60 minerals daily and putting that into her regimen of what she takes? Now, you know how important the minerals are. Back in the day, from the fire, they had the wood ash that had all the minerals in it. So they always mixed it in the food. Actually, just a little known fact is the wood ash was the first patent ever patented in the U.S. because they burnt wood and sent the ash over to England. First patent. So that tells you how important the wood ash is. And now we're living in a generation with electricity. When Thomas Edison first pulled that switch, we stopped using wood ash. Our grandmothers used to put the wood ash in our food. So we got all our minerals. We got all our nourishment. We're losing that now. So it's important, if we're going to end the violence with our youth, it's important that we start to educate young women when they get pregnant. It's a necessity that they get the proper supplementation. It's a necessity that they get the 60 minerals. It's the necessity they get the 16 vitamins. It's a necessity they get the 12 amino acids. It's a necessity they get the three essential, the essential fatty acids. These are things that we can do that we need to start to incorporate, because we have to change the culture. We have to get away from the sugar, the fried foods, the processed meats, oils, and the gluten. Gluten is such a great disturber to the body, because the gluten blocks your alveoli so that you cannot absorb food, so that you cannot absorb anything that you take in. So it cuts it off. And when we what happens is, then it doesn't go to the bone marrow, it doesn't go to the immune system, and so your health starts to decrease. And as people of color, we've always been given the less treatment. Why is it that black men have the least life expectancy? Only 62 years. Why is that? Now, we could look at Francis Cress Wellesley, and she says that when a black man has intercourse with a woman, that the result is always going to be black. It's always going to be the dominant gene. So just think about that. When you look at the political system and you ask why they do these things to black folks, the answer is right there. Now, to take it a level higher, I wrote a book, Ushering in the Golden Age, Elevate Your Consciousness. And I use Nostradamus, one of his trains, said that when we come into the Golden Age, the world will be ruled by Amwe Nwa. Amwe Nwa is the black man. So we have to prepare ourselves for this rulership. We have to prepare ourselves to understand the mistakes that are being made now. We have to understand the injustices that are made now, because nobody likes injustice. Nobody likes unfairness. Nobody likes dishonesty, truth, prejudice. So we need to prepare ourselves. The only way that we can do better is to become better in ourselves. And when we become better in ourselves, then we can change the world. We can bring the new world back to the glory that is here. We can live in glory. You know, the other day I was talking about fear. You know, it just came to me. Where does fear come from? Well, remember, we have 24-hour cycle. Half the day is sunshine, half the day is darkness. And so when we went into that darkness, that fear came up, because we didn't have the sunshine. We didn't have the light to guide us. We are all light beings. And when we need that light to show us the way, to guide us, to keep our feet on the path. We need that light because the light nourishes us. The sunshine nourishes us. So we automatically went into a mode of fear when we are in darkness. When we are in darkness, when we cannot see, when we bump into each other, when we don't know the way, where we have the confusion and the disharmony. When we start to realize it, that the light always comes back, that there's nothing to fear, that the light will come back, the light will guide us. And when you bring that light into your heart and let that light guide you, when we are in the periods of darkness, that light is always there with you. When you allow that light to fill up your heart, take your energy from your solar plexus and allow that energy to become one with that energy, you always find your path. You always have a path to walk on. So nutrition is a key, again, improving your psychology. You know, using the mathematical formula, you want to each other as we would have them do one to us. That's a mathematical formula. Just put in the equal sign, you know, do one to me equals do one to others, so that you always get that oneness. You always return to the infinity of the good, that we're here to do good, to share good, and live in the glory of the light. So nutrition, psychology, fairness to all, where our politics become the politics of truth and what's good for people, not about who's making profit on you. We need to change this. We need to look at this and try the glory of the Most High, the glory of the unified consciousness. When we do that and walk in harmony with this truth, we become the powerful beings we're meant to be. And Earth becomes a paradise. Earth becomes a paradise. Because then you can trust. You can trust. And as a philosopher said, when there is no trust, there is no love. So when we get back to trust, when we get back to loving each other, when we get back to supporting each other, when we get back to understanding each other, we build the bridges so that we can live in harmony with each other, so that we can find that higher level of peace, so that we can find that higher level of love, so that we can be that higher level of light being. When we open our hearts to this, this is the power that we have. This is the glory that we have. And when we all share this with the proper nutrients, again, I say, get back to the lithium, because just as Brother Shazaz was talking, the brother I had a conversation with, he's working in Maryland to help in youth violence. So when I heard him speak, I said, lithium, lithium. And he looked it up. So there are so many simple solutions out there, that when we start to find out and share information, and the only reason I found out about lithium is I listened to the CD Black Chains Live, and I played part of the CD a couple of weeks ago, and I will eventually get around to playing the rest. But Dr. Wallet talks about the violence is because of lack of lithium. And that's been confirmed through science, because the brother looked it up and said, yeah, you're right. He said, that solution is so simple, but why has nobody heard about it? So, again, it's about taking control of your life, taking control of your health, taking control of your psychology so that you become the best person you can be, so that you can become the most spiritual person you can be, so you can become the most loving, the most understanding person you can be.
Okay, brother Michael.
Yes,
that's the doorbell. That was just that's our podcast audience and you too know that the next guest speaker has just arrived. So, with that being said, my brother, could you please give the people your contact information and also let them know what we're going to have next week? And you can finish up. You can finish up your sentence, brother. I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. Well, my contact number, if I can be reached at 516-456-8932. That's 516-456-8932. And next week, we're going to have Dr. Wallach. Dr. Wallach has written over 23 books. You know, he's been a veterinarian and changed to a naturopathic doctor so that he can understand why animals live, because if not, a pound of beef would cost you $250. But they understand the nutrition for animals, and Dr. Wallach has brought that same concept to help healing the human condition and human illness. So without further ado, again, tell all your friends, your neighbors, because this is an opportunity. And be prepared to ask questions. If you have any ailments, Dr. Wallach will want to know your age, your weight, and what your ailment is. So come prepared with that, because doctors will take and answer your questions and give you remedies to situations that may be plaguing you at this time. So again, Forrest, thank you. Thank you for the family. And I hope my words were beneficial to all.
Well, of course they are, my brother, because the podcast always that I deal with it, we're all looking for that motivation. And like you said, to share our knowledge, Brother Shabazz said it, so did you.
You got somebody, you got a caller on.
Oh, we got a call. Okay, real quick. All right. Hold on, Brother Michael. Hello? Caller? Hello, caller, are you there? Okay. 2144, are you there?
All right.
Okay. All right. Going once, going twice. Are you there, 2144? Well, maybe they got cold feet. But anyway, Brother Michael Collins, I want to thank you for coming on once again. And family out there in podcast land, this brother is part of the Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself. He's on the love train. He will always be a part of whatever we try to put out there. You see how spiritual the brother was in relaying that information out there to us. And it's all about, like I said, love, which unfortunately is void in our communities. But we have to try our best to bring it back. And Brother Shabazz was talking about the same thing. Before you go, Brother Michael Collins, I'd like to say peace and blessings to you. And he's going to introduce my podcast for me. He's going to introduce you to Dr. Joe Wilde. He's going to bring him on. All right? So So with that being said, somebody's got to mute. Hello. Jay, what's that noise coming from, you know? Okay, there you go. He's coming on next week to bring on Dr. Joe Wallach. So without further ado, I'm also going, it's time to bring on out. Thank you, Brother Michael Collins. I appreciate you, and we'll see you next week, my brother.
All right.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to you.
All right, family, it's about that time. You know, who's coming on, but before I bring on our dear brother Rashad, I just want to say a shout-out to Miss Deborah Gaskins, all right, Deborah Gaskins, the sweet potato pie lady. Also, Douglas Says, all right, TaylorMade Outfits. Also, if you need anything TaylorMade, Douglas Says on Facebook. Miss Deborah Gaskins is on. Deborah Gaskins is on. I said Deborah. It's Deborah Gaskins. She's on Facebook. If you ever need anything made for the holidays or whatever, she's the lady to see. Whatever holiday you celebrate, don't have to be a holiday. All right? Also, Patrick W. Payne, my man, photography work, he's the best. And last but not least, because we had him on our show a while back, he's coming back to introduce you to some real healthy vegan and just healthy cooking, my man Genesis from Blueberry Cafe. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, once again, Our dear brother, Rashad El Amin. Brother Rashad, are you there?
Yes, I am, my brother.
There you go, my brother. It's all yours, my brother.
Okay. Peace and blessings to everyone. Thank you again, Brother Forrest, for allowing me on your program. And peace and blessings to the listening audience. I pray everybody's doing well. And I just want to mention one thing before I start. Brother Forrest, I hope you give the whole 2 hours to Dr. Eli Wallach next week, because I know he's going to have a lot of information, and I really want to listen to everything he's got to say. Is that going to be okay, Brother Forrest? Okay, I don't know if he is listening or not. But I'm hoping that he gets those 2 hours next week, because I really want to listen to the information he's sharing, because I know Dr. Wallach is a highly educated, holistic doctor, and he's got a lot of information he wants to share. He wrote so many books, and powerful books at that. Also, Michael, if you're listening, those are some very profound words, brother. I mean, it really touched me listening to what you were saying. The things you said about lithium is very true. And I'm hoping people look into lithium. And if they know people who have, like, issues with depression or mental problems, they should look into that. They should really look into that, because it's going to be of great benefit, because, you know, a lot of people who have mental issues, a lot of it is due to lack of nutrition, believe it or not, and they show studies on that where once the proper nutrition was given, the people are going back to normal. So that's something people need to look into. And also, Michael, I did tune in to the program. As a matter of fact, Forrest did too, on the for Croydon. I heard the testimonials and all, and I was like, wow, that's some good testimonials. So I did listen in. I'm just letting you know that I did get to listen in. And also to Brother Ishmael. Oh, brother, that's a great story. I mean, your life story, powerful. And, I mean, Salaam Alaikum, brother, first of all. And I just want to say you should write a book, because your history, what you went through and everything, I think will make for a great book. And, you know, all of us every last one of us is a living book. Every human being is a living book. They have a story to tell. You know, everybody's got a story to tell. I mean, I can write a book on myself also. I haven't gotten to it. But, you know, I have my little history of what I went through in life and how I made my changes and everything. And the way Allah guided me on the right path to where I needed to go and what I needed to do to help the community. So, you know, if you can, Brother Ishmael, if you can write that book, I'd be one of the first ones to buy your book, brother. Okay? So, but before, excuse me, before I start, and I used to do this during every podcast, I used to read from the book As a Man Thinketh. I used to open up with that by James Allen. Excuse me. And I just want to read a couple paragraphs from it about thought and character. Now, this little book is powerful. I don't know if anybody out there has ever read it. I suggested it to the listening audience before. It's a very small book. It's only like 60-some pages, about 69 pages, but it's very powerful. And I'm just going to read this before I get into my topic on coconut oil. But I'm going to start here. It says, man is made or unmade by himself in the armory of thoughts. He forges the weapons by which he destroys himself. He also fashions the tools which he builds for himself, heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. By the right choice and true application of thought, man ascends to the divine perfection. By the abuse and wrong application of thoughts, he descends below the level of the beast. Between these two extremes are all the grades of character, and man is their maker and master. Of all the beautiful truths pertaining to the soul, which have been restored and brought to light in this age, none is more gladdening or fruitful of divine promise and confidence than this, that man is the master of thought, the molder of character, and the maker and shaper of condition, environment, and destiny. Man is always the master, even in his weakest and most abandoned state. But in his weakness and degradation, he is the foolish master who misgoverns his household. When he begins to reflect upon his condition and to search diligently for the law upon which his being is established, he then becomes the wise master, directing his energies with intelligence and fashioning his thoughts to fruitful issues. Such is the conscious master, and man can only thus become by discovering within himself the laws of thought, which discovery is totally a matter of application, self-analysis, and experience. That's the end of the quote from the paragraph, and I just want to share that. I want to read that after hearing both Ishmael and Brother Michael with what they shared. And, you know, I'm a person who likes to read, and I read a lot. I love reading. I've always been a reader since I was a teenager. And my favorite subjects is ancient history, okay? That's one of my favorites right there. And health, of course, is number one for me. The history of religions, comparative religion, and science. All these things I love because once you start learning these things, then you start to see the whole picture. You know, life is like a puzzle. You have a puzzle, and you have to put the pieces together. You have to connect. We got to learn how to make connections. And when you connect the pieces, after it's all connected, then you see the whole picture, okay? But if you got pieces missing, you can't see the whole picture. So life is about making connections. When you read things, you start to connect things, and things become clearer. So I'm one who loves to read. I spend a lot of time reading because that's what I enjoy. And it helps me in life, helps me become a better human being. And like Michael and like Brother Ishmael, it's about serving the community, helping the community, trying to enlighten the community so that people can wake up and see what's really going on out here, okay? Because they always have a scheme out there, and people are sheepish. They are very sheepish. They just go along with anything that government and those behind the scenes, the ones that really control things, they go along with whatever they say on the media, and they think it's all the truth without listening to the other side of the story. It's like when you're talking about the vaccines. People have to investigate this thing. This is some experimental. And they want to mandate, and they have mandated the vaccines for people in New York, policemen and firemen and health workers and garbage men, everybody. So, but there's those who are opposed to it. And they have a right over their body. You know, everybody has a right over their body. Government shouldn't have a right over your body to tell you what to do. It's not right. How come it is that all the congressmen down there in Washington, D.C. are exempt from this vaccine? What's that telling me? Wait. Why are you exempted and we have to take the vaccine? Something wrong with this whole picture. You see? We don't know what is going on. We don't know how this vaccine is going to affect people later on in a few years. But a lot of us rush to it. Yes, they said take the vaccine, it's going to protect us, this and that. Not so. Not all of it's true. You see? And I believe it's, I'm trying to remember the country, I think it's Ireland, which has mandated vaccine. 99% of the population is vaccinated. And guess what? They got the highest spike in coronavirus after this vaccination. What's that tell you? You see? So we got to wake up. We got to do our own research. Just don't go for the okey-doke. You know, like Malcolm said, a lot of us have been bamboozled and hoodwinked. We've been had. Now, I'm not saying don't take the shot. That's your choice. If you think the shot's going to benefit you, then go along with it. But don't tell me I have to take a shot. You see? But I watch things. I never rush into nothing. I sit back and I watch. I was listening to another podcast last Sunday, and it was about to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. And this was a Muslim group of doctors, nurses, and some imams. But one of the doctors, highly respected in the Muslim community, said, you know, you can take the shot. And he's pro-vaccine now. Don't get me wrong. He's got the shot and everything. He said, you can take the shot, but if you haven't built your immunity, the shot's really not going to do you much good. And that's what we always talk about, building your immunity up, because in the first place, the reason why you become susceptible to disease and viruses is because you have a weakened immunity. You have not built your immunity up. Your lifestyle, you're living a long lifestyle. You're putting things in your body that don't belong there. So you have a weakened immune system. If your immune system is strong, your body is loaded with all type of viruses. But they stay dormant long as your immune system is strong. And like Michael was talking, you know, you got to go back to eating from nature, real foods that complement the body, foods that the cells of your body, when they have that food go in, they recognize that food. Your cells are happy. Your body's happy. Your body feels good. But when you put all that man-made crap in there, and it is crap, that's when everything goes downhill. And then your immune system gets weak, and you become susceptible. You see? You become susceptible to all these diseases, these modern-day diseases. It doesn't make sense. They put all that fast food in the black community. We eat more fast food than anybody. I'm telling you. I remember when I was younger, the family, to go out and have a fast food meal, that didn't happen. And it wasn't, we didn't have all these fast food joints back then. Maybe once in 6 months we were able to get a bucket of chicken from a fast food place, and that was it. But we had to eat dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner at home. Everything was cooked. Everything was cooked. You had to eat at home. And back in my day, going back to the 50s and 60s, and everybody was slim. You'd hardly find anybody overweight. Even entertainers, you seen the singers, everybody was slim and trim because you were eating more of the natural food. Didn't have as many fast food places in our community. Okay? And we were more active. Even as children, we were more active. But we didn't gain that weight like these youth now. They're not as active as we are, or as we were. Because they sit home and stay on their cell phone. They're playing games on there, their iPads, watching TV, and getting fat or getting sick. But you have to be active. You got to have some kind of activity. You have to have exercise. Don't play around with this stuff. Don't play around with your body. You only get one body. Don't mistreat it. Okay? You don't get another one. Now, I don't know if anybody that came back, anybody I died that came back and said, I got a new body. No. You only get one. You only get one, and so you better take care of the one you have. And I don't want to hear that stuff. Well, you got to die of something. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Yeah, you don't die of something. Everybody don't die of something. But don't commit suicide. It's suicide when you eat all that junk. It's suicide when you drink alcohol all the time. It's suicide when you're using drugs, okay? Like Brother Ishmael was talking about the drugs. Yeah, a lot of us that were out there using drugs and stuff, that's suicide. Slow suicide. Slowly killing ourselves. You see? So don't do that. It doesn't belong in your body. What belongs in your body is good thoughts, good food, and a good spirit. You see? Good character. That's how we should be. We shouldn't be caught up in all this nonsense out here, all the drama, and all that stuff you see on TV, all that dumbed-down stuff that dumbs down the people. You don't need that. You need to be enlightened. Okay? You need to be enlightened. You need light in your life, like Michael was saying. You need light. So brothers and sisters, wake up. Get out of that darkness, the darkness of your mind, and let the light shine in. You see? Some of us want to stay in darkness. Some of us want to keep living that wrong life and don't want to change. And then you complain, we become all sick. Why is this happening to me? Why not? You brought it on yourself. Whereas if you took care of yourself properly, you wouldn't have to go through all that. You see? But anyway, I just had to share that. I mean, after listening to Ishmael and Mike, I just had to piggyback on what they were saying. So, brothers and sisters, thank you for listening to me. I said I was going to speak on coconut oil. And, you know, there's a lot of oils out here, all types of oils. And I always tell everybody the best oil on the planet is black seed oil. Black seed oil. Look it up. Look at all the scientific studies. Look at all the benefits. It's from the black cumin seed. Powerful seed. And I love it. Use it all the time. You see? But look it up, Google it, and you'll see for yourself all the benefits of black seed oil. Now, you're talking about building your immune system up? My God, it does build your immune system up. And it helps you with all types of ailments. Okay? Another oil which I'm going to talk about, coconut oil. Now, there's a lot of controversy out there about coconut oil. The media try to put a bad light on coconut oil. Oh, man, oh, that's saturated fat. Not good for you. You know, these type of things. Not good for you. Don't raise your cholesterol. Man, please. Look on the jar of any bottle of coconut oil. Look on the nutritional list on that label. And see what it says about cholesterol. It says 0%. 0%. It's right there on the label. So where's this stuff coming out about it's going to raise your cholesterol up? You know, they say, well, it's got saturated fat. It's a good fat. I'm going to break it down in a minute. But your body needs a certain amount of fat. Your brain needs a certain amount of fat. Otherwise, it's not going to function right. You see? Keep that in mind. Anyway, like I said, coconut oil, which I use every day myself. I take a spoonful. I use it for cooking when I do. It's a very healthy oil. I use it on my skin and my hair. As a matter of fact, let me just relate the story to you. I was introduced coconut oil back in 1971 in Newark, New Jersey. There was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Bay, elderly man. And I remember going to this store to get a bean pie. And the brother was bringing in these jars of coconut oil. It said Bay's coconut oil. And it had a star and a crescent on the label. So as he was delivering and putting it on the shelf, I asked him, I said, excuse me, sir, what is coconut oil? What do you do with it? He said, young man, coconut oil has so many benefits. And I asked him, I said, well, listen, my scalp, I got some dandruff, and it seemed like whatever shampoo I use and everything, I can't get rid of it. He said, you use this in your hair every day, and it'll disappear. I said, really? Anyway, I started using it, and less than a week, all that dandruff disappeared. I never seen it again, even up to this day. In 2021, I use it on my skin. It keeps my skin smooth. And I met up with him again, and he told me that he would take the coconut oil, get on a bus to take it down south, and he would sell it to people. And his coconut oil, now he was the first one to make coconut oil in America. His, that we know of, his coconut oil was so powerful, he said that people would put it on the skin if they had eczema, all kinds of skin rashes or whatever, and it would clear it up. He said when he got on the Greyhound bus to go down south, he sold out the whole package of coconut oil right on the bus. He was lecturing to the people and stuff. That's how, you know, powerful of a salesman he was. Then he would come back, and he would go to Africa, and he had connections with them and some islands for the coconuts, and he had a little shop in Harlem right across from Master Malcolm Shabazz on 116th Street, where he had a brother who would make the coconut oil. They had the kitchen there, cooked it up and everything, and made it. And so after a while, I was so fascinated about this coconut oil that I started asking him, you know, if I could sell the product. He said, well, this is what we'll do. Let's have some meetings because I have a plan to open up a factory. I said, oh, wow, really? So I got a couple of my friends, Sadiq and this brother named Rab. We got together and we started going over there because they were interested in it too. And we started meeting with him. And he was telling us that he had a whole blueprint in his mind about opening up the factory for coconut oil. And so we sat there, we listened to him, and we kept meeting for a little bit. And he said some Jewish fellas were trying to offer them $1 million for the recipe. But he wouldn't sell it. He said he's not selling it to them. He said he wanted to keep this in his own community. So one day we went back to meet with him. He wasn't home, and his daughter had a beauty parlor downstairs in the house, and we rang her bell and asked her, where's Mr. Bay? And she said he had died. I said, what? He passed away? We didn't even know about it. Oh, we were so hurt. You know, the blueprint, everything went with him because he didn't have it on paper. It was all in his mind. Not long after that, coconut oil started appearing doors. And I believe the brother he had working for him in that kitchen over there in Harlem, because I went over there to see him to talk about the coconut oil, about, you know, opening up the plant, he was gone. I said to myself, I wonder if he sold the recipe to the Jewish people and got paid. You understand what I'm saying? And Mr. Bay also had a coconut drink that was out of this world he made from coconuts. And they were asking for that, too. They were going to pay him for that. But anyway, that's what got me into coconut oil. And we never had a chance to open up that factory. And it was just sad. It was really sad that now you see all this coconut oil in all the stores. They have some very good ones, and they have some sorry ones. But none of them, believe what I say, none of them compared to the coconut oil Mr. Bay had. When you open that jar, it's like the coconuts were jumping out. I mean, it was great coconut oil, okay? But at least people now are aware of coconut oil and its benefits. So a lot of people are using coconut oil now to cook with, to use on the skin, you know, taking a spoonful a day so they can have certain benefits for the heart and everything. But anyway, I just wanted to share that story because that's how I was introduced to the coconut oil, okay? Anyway, so, you know, coconut oil is known as what they call medium-chain fatty acids, okay? Medium-chain fatty acids, okay? Now, and, you know, coconuts are from the tropics. And studies on people, you know, who live in tropical climates and who have a diet that's high in coconut oil show that they are healthier and have fewer incidences of heart disease, cancer, digestive complaints, and prostate problems. Yeah, people who use the coconut oil. And, you know, here in North America and in Europe, popular cookbooks from, like, the late 19th century, think about that, the 19th century, which would be in the 1800s, right, often included coconut oil in many recipes, and yet heart disease and cancer were almost unheard of at the time. Did you hear that? Yes, that's some history there. And, you know, populations with high levels of coconut oil consumption always include other oils from vegetables and fish for a more balanced diet. Now, I always include extra virgin organic olive oil in my diet also, which is a very powerful oil. I get mine has to come from either Sicily or Italy. I don't buy no other ones. Okay? Olive oil itself is very beneficial. Okay? But it's got to be a good olive oil. So there's a lot of corruption in the olive oil business. And you can be buying olive oil and it's nothing but chestnut and soybean oil mixed with olive oil. It's not even a real thing. So you got to know which one to buy. Okay? That's very important, brothers and sisters. Keep that in mind. But anyway, you know, the both scientific and political propaganda by the American, listen to this, by the American Soybean Association and the Center for Science in the Public Interest, okay, have joined forces in the campaign to replace tropical oils with polyunsaturated soybean oil from American farmers. Okay? And because of this, brothers and sisters, because of this campaign, food processors and restaurant and theater chains have switched from coconut oil to polyunsaturated oils, which are deadly. Remember that. And a lot of people don't know this. Anyway, you know, it's abundance of documented scientific facts that I reviewed, okay? And you can better appreciate the fact that saturated fats are classified in two primary categories. One is long-chain fats and short and medium chain fats. Listen up. Each subgroup has markedly different biological effects. And, it's going to be shown that overconsumption of polyunsaturated fats in our diet is more detrimental to our health than the saturated fats found in tropical oils. Now, what oils is these polyunsaturated fats? These are these conventional oils like safflower oil, corn oil, soybean oil, all these ones that have been heated up, and a lot of it is GMOs. When they came out with these polyunsaturated oils, that's when heart disease started to increase. So these are bad oils. As a matter of fact, Michael Collins spoke about that a few weeks back. Okay? Anyway, coconut oil, is not a dietary poison like these people who push the polyunsaturated oils will tell you, okay? But coconut oil contains like a remarkable fat called monolaurin, and this is a medium-chain fat first discovered in a laboratory and represents one of the most exceptional and inspiring groups of fats found in nature, okay? Found in nature. So this monolaurin is currently being tested in clinical trials as a treatment for genital herpes, hepatitis C, and HIV, okay? And it's shown clinical results and promising possibilities, exciting possibilities about this. So let me just check my time. Oh, my God. I got like about 7 to 8 minutes. I'm just getting started. I have so much here to share with you. But what I'm going to do real quick, because I want to go into the science of coconut oil, but I'm going to have to do that maybe the following week, after next week, as a matter of fact, and give you more on it. But let me just tell you something, share this with you. Some of the disease prevention and treatment uses for coconut oil. So research and, you know, clinical observation have shown that the medium-chain fatty acids from coconut oil that's found in coconut oil help prevent and treat a whole wide range of diseases. And it can help prevent heart disease, high blood pressure, atherosclerosis, and stroke. It can prevent diabetes, okay? It will support the development of strong bones and teeth. It protects against osteoporosis. It promotes loss of excess weight. It kills viruses. It kills viruses that cause influenza and hepatitis C, measles, herpes, AIDS, and other illnesses. It reduces symptoms associated with pancreatitis, that's inflammation of your pancreas. It reduces severity of problems associated with malabsorption syndrome and cystic fibrosis. It relieves symptoms of gallbladder disease. It relieves symptoms associated with Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and stomach ulcers. And someone just called me a couple days ago, and they were telling me they had an ulcer. They've been going to the doctor. And I told them the ulcer come from a Helicobacter bacteria, and what you should do is get you some organic cabbage.
Brother Rashad,
I hear the ding dong.
Yeah, it's like the gong show. listen, brother. I'm going to let you finish that sentence and then give your contact information, because we pressed for time, because they shut us down at 9 o'clock. So, brother, if you can, give me your contact and finish that sentence, because I was listening to about the organic cabbage real quick.
And so get organic cabbage and drink 3 glasses of cabbage juice every day for 3 or 4 days, and it'll heal that ulcer. Or also get some pure raw honey and take a tablespoon a day, because what happens is that bacteria sits in water, and the honey, when you take it in, it sucks the water out of the bacteria, and the bacteria dies, and the ulcer starts to heal. So this is another way to get rid of that ulcer. And anyway, I didn't get to finish about the coconut oil. Maybe next week. Of course, I mentioned earlier when I first came on, I didn't get a response from you. Is it okay if Dr. Wallach be on for the whole 2 hours next week?
No, brother. Dr. Wallach will be on just for the hour. He's going to do a half an hour lecture, and then we'll dedicate the if anybody calls in, maybe shorter than that. But So you got part two next week, brother. It'll just be you and Dr. Wallach on next week. That's it.
Okay, I really want to hear all the information you don't share, but that's good. Okay, I go along with that. So what I'll finish this subject on coconut oil next week, because there's a lot I have to share about that. And listen, audience, look forward to next week for me finishing the subject. So again, I want to thank you, Brother Forrest, and the listening audience.
Well, thank
you,
my brother.
My phone number is 973-673-0699. Call me only during the week, in the afternoons between 12 and 6, no weekends. And I look forward to hearing from anybody who has some kind of problem. I'll share whatever I can to help you out. So, again, thank you, everybody.
And hold on, brother, because we're going to walk off in the sunset together. I just want to say this to the podcast family. Rashad will be back on. He'll have an hour. Dr. Wallach will have an hour to close out with Brother Michael Collins. Miss Gayla Gibson, who comes on, family, because she's one of the biggest people that always gets asked about. She'll be on the following week. So, Gayla, if you're listening, because of Dr. Wallach, she's going to push back. She comes on the first Saturday of every month. Ms. Gayla Gibson, who talks about iodine and women's health, she'll be on the following week, okay? And with that being said, once again, I'd just like to say thank you once again, podcast family, for your support. If you know anybody that needs health and healing or has issues, please ask them to tune in every Saturday between 7 and 9 p.m. You know the number. Share it. And also, that green tea. Go on my Facebook page. And also, if you need that black seed oil, Brother Rashad is selling that, all right? And he has the best. It's the Ethiopian Abyssinian black seed oil. Call the brother and get it from him. There's no more potent black seed than this. Black seed is good. I'm not knocking anybody else's brand, but I use what Brother Rashad has, and it's excellent, excellent. So make sure you call Rashad for the black seed. Go on my Facebook page. The green tea, Dr. Lee's green tea, you get a discount. Peace and blessings, family. Brother Rashad, peace and blessings to you and the family. And once again, thank you. And also, my man, the technician, dial the same number on Fridays, ladies and gentlemen. Keeping it real with Mr. Randy J. Sean Jackson. He's the relationship guru. So if you want to go up there and want something cutting edge, check out my man. Every Friday, dial the same number. He's on between 8 and 10 p.m., all right? Peace and blessings to the family. Thank you, Rashad. Once again, see you next week, my brother.
Peace and blessings, my brother.
All right, young sisters.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Yeah, love, yeah. I'm all here by myself. Just staring. Listen, I don't know what you do to me. Wait, it's so incredible.
You got me staring at this phone,
at this phone.
And I can't wait till you get home.
Get home.
See, I don't like being alone.
All alone, girl.
Baby, just up in my zone. Girl, you got me staring at this phone,
at this phone.
And I can't wait till you get home.
Coming home.
See,
girl.
I don't like being alone.
All alone.
Baby, just up in my zone, girl.
Yes. Some time has passed, you still haven't called me.
Too much.
I'm still thinking about the night you took off.
Damn.
I know I'm supposed to be a man to stay bottled up, but you got me feeling all alone, baby, not like us.
No.
I gotta go out there and find you and just remind
yes.
you how we fell in love in front of sound
yes.
You told me how I realized when you were gone. Now I see what you've been talking about this whole time. I can't lose you, baby, you my other half. Now I'm in the house looking at these damn photographs. Life goes on, that's what I had told you.
Dang.
I should've been smart and say, baby, let me hold you.
Being
alone,
trapped up on myself,
All
up in the zone.
Dang.
Your body got some features,
yeah.
We love your redeemer.
Ooh.
I feel your frequency on my radio receiver.
Feeling.
Love you in the spot right now.
feeling hot right now. Waiting on me to kill that twat right now. Yeah, it's going down for all of your pleasure.
Always
my nigga's hella good, something you couldn't measure.
No,
I'm trying to hit the spot with a long night of pleasure. You're back in love spot.
What?
It's always getting wetter. This phone got me tripping cause I'm sitting there sipping love, knowing that my heart you're a home.
You home with me. At this home,
at this home.
Can I get home for you? Get home,
get you home.
See,
girl,
I don't like being alone.
Get alone, girl.
Get it up in my soul. Girl, you got me staring at this phone.
At this phone.
Can I get home for you? Get home.
In my zone.